You're listening to Light Talks, the Zum Tobel Group podcast. Light is life. Light inspires. Light creates emotion. Light changes the world. Light Talks, the podcast of the Zum Tobel Group, illuminates the impact of light and how light can bring people, nature, and innovations together. Hello and a warm welcome. It's a pleasure to have you listening. My name is Diana Panzirsch. I'm your host. And for today's episode, I'm happy to welcome Zum Tobel Group CEO Alfred Felder. Hello, Alfred.
Hello, Diana.
Alfred and I are sitting in Zum Tobel Group's Light Forum, a unique world of light located in the company's headquarters in the heart of Dornbirn, Austria. And virtually joining us is Ben van Berkel, founder and principal architect of UN Studio, one of the globally leading Dutch architecture offices with a long history of collaboration with Zum Tobel. A warm welcome to you, Ben. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
The first episode of Light Talks is inspired by the recently published artistic annual report of the Zum Tobel Group entitled Transform. One should know that Zum Tobel Group's annual reports are not just published facts and figures, they are works of art themselves. For over 30 years, personalities from the fields of architecture, graphic design, and art have been invited to design the Zum Tobel Group's annual report. The 31st edition was designed by Ben van Berkel and his team at UN Studio in collaboration with the graphic design duo Blomendal and Deckers. Ben, like I said, you have a long history of working with Zum Tobel, yet the collaboration for the annual report was probably a bit different or new. It's entitled Transform. What was your intention? What does transformation mean to you and your working environment?
For me, it means everything what is around is happening today. If we think about total changes in the world of climate change, the way how we have to rethink health, and not only health in the outdoor space, but health in the indoor spaces, is related to the way how we need to improve the quality and transform the quality of life around us and what we design around us. And it's not only that we have to deal with a better system of design alone, but it is actually a new type of awareness for me that the world is in change, and for that reason Transform captures this concept of a transforming world, but that we have as designers and architects and plan everything what is around us in this world of design, that we react towards this transformation in a positive way.
So I guess a very suitable title for the times that we live in. Alfred, you joined the Zum Tobel Group 10 years ago in 2012, first as head of Tridonic before becoming chief operating officer and then chief executive officer at Zum Tobel Group. And even beyond that, I read that light has been the central topic of your working life. So with your expertise and experience, what would you say? How does light transform a room, a person, or maybe even life?
Yeah, light is a very emotional topic. Light is life. You said it already at the beginning. It creates an atmosphere. It creates an emotion. Give us shape to the room. Looks different in different light colors to all the spaces, but also outdoor to the cities. Light makes us also feel safe, comfortable, supports our well-being, especially with the LED technology now in place. We have high quality of light. We have, with the circadian lighting technology, a support of our biorhythm. And obviously we at the Zum Tobel Group, that's our DNA. We create light for improving people's life and well-being.
So transformation is a central topic then with lighting as well. Ben, you told us why the title Transform. Now for the content, the annual report showcases your work over the past 30 years. Can you maybe give us a brief overview? What kind of transformation has the architectural field and the built environment experienced over the last decades, and maybe also especially in the theme of light?
A lot, eh? Because if we go back to maybe the early 80s when I was maybe still at school at the Architectural Association, that was my education platform where all the top architects educated in that time deconstructivist architecture and paper architecture in a way. I was interested in design and building buildings. So I wanted to go more in the direction of technology and how technology could change our built environment. And so from running around in the school and being in different parts of the corner of the school, I also went often to Over Arab, where all the engineers were, and they told me everything about the new changes in construction techniques, modular design strategies. And that's where I, in a way, came from. And over the history of architecture of the last 30 years, you could say, you've seen that, especially in the concept of the way how we dealt with technology and the built environment, light has played a very important role. For instance, talking about engineering, light became in a way almost data. You know, data and light are synchronically connected towards each other, and that gives it an incredible new opportunity, a new transformation in the way how we can play with the concept of light in a far more positive way, as you described already, both of you, than ever before. So a lot of changes happened in the profession, you could say, and I've picked out myself there the topics I've always liked to work with, but in the relationship to light also, there a lot of things changed. But luckily enough also towards the way how it have been synchronized with technology, I think that's the most interesting, important transformation towards the way how we use light today.
I like what you say, Ben, that light is now light and data, you said, in the built environment. That's exactly, I think, what is the big transformation now, what LED brought to us, because it's a digital light source. Yeah. And it just offers much more than just light. Obviously, LED had to learn first how to walk and bring light. I remember my beginning of LEDs when I was talking to the conventional lamp guys saying, well, Alfred, come back to me with your LED when it's really emitting light. Talk to me when it's having at least 60 lumen per watt. You know, at that time it was something like 20, and that was the case then 6 months later. So they were very surprised. But I think I could not agree more that it's light and data what is a big part of this transformation nowadays.
Yeah, huge. It changed a lot.
I guess digitalization has and is transforming our lives. And as we're already right in the middle of this topic, let's add a question to that: how digitalization is also transforming the lighting industry and where it's heading. I read in a couple of your recent interviews, Alfred, that digitalization and this whole technology has also opened a vast array of new applications for the lighting industry. Can you maybe tell us about one or two projects Zumtobel Group's brands are working on that aren't top secret at this stage when it comes to digitalization, the Internet of Things, or the use of technology and data?
Yeah, I mean, we have, as I said already, a couple of interesting applications what we do with the LEDs. I mentioned it when it started to become a really light source for lighting applications, and we connected it with our sensor technologies that the luminaires could talk to each other. One example what I can talk about is the project what we did at the Swiss post in Erkingen, and that was an area of roughly 38,000 square meters, operated, and that's important, 24 hours a day, 365 days, and in a three shift models. And obviously one request was really the best quality of light, so we installed the tunable white solution designed especially for the mutual task of sorting letters. You know, post has still, even with emails, a lot of letters, that aims to protect the delicate biorhythm of the people. People working in night shift have a different biorhythm, especially going through the night. But also the project aimed for the modern sensor-controlled lighting solution. So that's The previously pure static light should be switched on and off automatically depending on the presence of the employees in certain areas. And then in the night shift, obviously, we aimed to reduce the blue content, the light, that is not to interfere with the circadian rhythm. You know, the blue light is basically disturbing your inner clock a little bit, and that was extremely helpful. And another project partner, the Swiss Accident Insurance Fund, here we had in close collaboration and consultation with the expert from the State Secretariat of Economics Affairs Zumtobel and to Lucerne University of Applied Science and Arts, ensured that all the workplaces in the small center are optimally lit in accordance with the valid standard. And that saves, on the other hand, and that's the other benefit, 50% of the energy. I know we might talk also about this one, what that impact has nowadays with this extremely high energy cost, and it significantly reduces the maintenance cost for the Swiss Post. So it's really one of the projects where light, data, well-being is connected. It was a very, very nice project what we did together with the customer.
A healthy working and living environment. We will talk about that a bit more. But we're right in the middle of modern lighting solutions, or how technology has changed the architectural field, but also the lighting industry. Let's stick with that. Ben, your belief is that as an architect, you have to anticipate the future. So when it comes to architecture and lighting, what can we expect in the near or maybe far future?
I do believe that that what is interesting right now is that, like I said before, I mean, so many things are changing in our built environment, but also the way how we work, you know, is already since the pandemic maybe changed so much, and how mobility changes. I mean, you know, so many aspects who are so fascinating in the way how we have to react to that differently than before. It gives us new insights maybe in the way how we have to anticipate on that in the future, because health and the built environment is a topic where I've done already for close to 6 years research on. But I layer it always. What is health in the relationship to the built environment exactly? I believe that it needs to be connected to social health, physical health, and mental health. Because you today, you would like to stimulate people, for instance, to walk more in buildings, so that you, when you take more staircases, that you do also, yeah, do a form of fitness in a way, or that you provide better food for the employees in the work environment. We do that lately for many companies that, we think about this topic. Social health is another one, so that you're not too much at home, as we have heard, we did so much in the pandemic period, but that work environment or in a community or in the built sort of environment also, you stimulate people to see each other a little more and to activate each other's ideas around, for instance, food production in the neighborhood, or actively stimulating each other to, maybe with technology also, to make sure that people find each other in an analog way, so in real life, to do things with each other. And for instance, in a neighborhood where, and now I come to my lighter topic, in a neighborhood where we are active right now with a design in close to Eindhoven, we have introduced there ideas around vertical farming, that you don't have your own garden anymore, but you have a group garden where people can produce their own food. And circadian light, we just had talked about, you can stimulate all kinds of qualities of healthy lifestyles in the indoor environment, but also in the outdoor environment. You know, think about the way how circadian light also needs to be connected to vertical or artificial gardening in glass houses. But my belief is that social qualities in the way how we live tomorrow are going to anticipate many other things than only health alone. So light and health are important, but it is not the only thing. I do think that also design in itself around light is going to change a lot. You know, I mean, we talk a lot about the quality of light itself and data in light, but I do think that if our work environment is going to be more homey, as if you come at home when you work in a nice place, or even as it, when it feels as your holiday home, who knows in the future, where you work, would it then not be nice to have not a lighting system, but is looking too much office-oriented, for instance? You know, I mean, I think that a lot of things where the design of lighting is going to change when it comes down to the typology of the lamp or lighting in general for the home, but for the working environment and for the outdoor environment. So I think I promise you, I think there are a lot of things will change over the next 10 to 20 years.
And maybe, Ben, we will have then in home, a light what looks more homely, but with the quality of light like in the office, right? So that you have both things.
Optimized and more friendly and comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned it, a healthy working and living environment is at the center of many of your thoughts when it comes to the built environment. So let me put this question to Alfred. You already mentioned a few of your products and how you worked with the Swiss Post, for example. How can light cater to these needs of a more healthy environment, working and living environment? Or is it for you as well at the center of your thoughts nowadays?
Well, obviously, our innovation strengths and all our, let me say, thoughts in this direction, with the aim of really making and producing high quality light, gives equal importance then also to the people and the nature. It's not only that we make luminaires with best in class illumination standards, but also we see it as our mission to identify and reconcile all the related interests. So our knowledge of how light influences people, Ben said it already, it will transform also the whole design depending where we live and where we use the light, has grown over the decades and forms the basis for our sustainable and also future-oriented lighting solutions, which are now becoming increasingly energy and resource efficient. And in times where we live right now, where energy is at rocket high prices, it's even more important. But also at the same time, we aim to provide the optimal lighting quality. Our lighting solutions are designed to minimize, on one side, the impact on the environment, and on the other hand, the positive contribution to development for the world where we live in. We have only one world, or like the young kids say, we don't have a planet B where we live in. And when it comes to that, what you asked, the complex requirement and the light in healthcare, it's on one side very complex because doctors, for example, and care staff need precise functional light that supports them with pinpoint accuracy in their respective tasks, for example, in a operating theater or so. But patients and relatives benefit in their recovery and in their healing from the emotional aspects of the human-centric solutions. And that includes homely, cozy atmosphere, as well as light that supports humans' natural biorhythms. I mentioned it already, and also Ben in one of his answers. And then operators of healthcare facilities to turn look primarily in cost and resource-efficient operations of their building. And that means the active light is light that is tailored to human needs, to the specific solution, and which is also used to create visual comfort, enhances well-being, makes people particularly efficient. And that's the target, what we have when it comes to this special lighting application.
So a healthy living and working environment on a healthy planet, or by saving a healthy planet. So it shows, again, a lot of different aspects. I guess what they all have in common, and you mentioned it, Alfred, at the beginning, is that you need strong partnerships and partners that work together with you. Would you say that the way people work together, or collaboration as such, has transformed as well, maybe through the pandemic or even beyond that?
Well, first of all, as you see, we are talking to the famous Ben van Berkel. Yeah, we have been, I think, and that's not my merit, already a long history of cooperating. And that is not only now the case since we have LED and digitalization. For us as a Zumtobel group, it has always been very important to be open-minded, to share the knowledge means really multiplying it. We consider the exchange what we have with the different disciplines and with the different partners essential for new developments. We need input from outside, be it design, be it technology, be it just brainstorming how the built environment influences the lighting, how key we can influence the lighting. And that basically is now enriched by the aspect of the sustainability, what is really takes the partnership to a new level. And I strongly believe if we really want to become a sustainable society with our products, we cannot do this alone, not as a company alone, not as a discipline alone. And if you look here into that, I think that's even more accelerating the influence from outside, what helps us to get better.
So collaboration is key. And Ben, you mentioned it earlier as well, that the built environment is all about bringing people together again and making people able to socialize. I also had a look at your website, and the scale of your projects are very impressive. The Mercedes-Benz Museum, Doha Metro Station, there are projects really from around the world. I only mentioned two. And I assume if you have projects of this scale, that you need to be very successful in creating partnerships as well. How do you do that? How do you form lasting, successful partnerships to ensure that all stakeholders buy into the transformation, that everyone wants to achieve the same goal?
That's a nice question, because I've always believed in team building. I've never believed that I, as the architect, should be in front of the orchestra and say, this guy is what we all have to do. And I believe in my specialist and who I do the design together with, in a way, because they come up sometimes with an idea I've never thought of. And then maybe I steer it in another direction and I supervise, but I'm believing in collaborative troubleshooting, as I like to call it. And I became, next to a good designer, hopefully, also a good troubleshooter for that reason, because that's where often we win competitions with the team. Because we often, when we see a brief or when we see some proactive research done on the engineering of a station or an airport, and then we see very quickly where the escalators are placed in the wrong place, for instance, because we do a very quick crowd study, a digital crowd study. So I've always liked to work with others, and it's maybe part of that, what is for me also the teacher. I like to motivate people, I like to bring people together, I like to have everyone in the room, even the interns are part of the design team and can say whenever they want to say something about if the design needs to be improved. I'm a real team builder, and I've learned that if you don't have a good team, if you don't stimulate the team, if you don't feel yourself part of the team, then you never win in this world. You can't make excellent products. So team building for me is, it's in the name of your studio. Eh? Already in 1999, we were believing that being a united network, that's the UN principle coming from, is where we stand for. We are a network, and we work in an ecosystem, and we live in an ecosystem. So in that sense, that's why maybe with Zumtobel we have this long-standing relationship. It's a collaborative belief, I would almost say, where we stand for, and that's why we find each other so so comfortable in the way how we work, in the way how we work together. Yeah.
I can only second this, Ben, what you said, the collaboration between the different discipline really creates the new thing, because you can add the knowledge what the different people have in the different environments and create something what is more than just a new luminaire, so to speak, from our perspective. Really appreciate our cooperation.
So many shared beliefs between the two companies, and thus probably such a prospering long collaboration. If you would like to see how the two companies work together, you can actually do that at the moment by visiting the current exhibition at the Zumtobel Group Light Forum. And if you would like to visit the exhibition, please register by sending an email to lichtforum.dornbirn@zumtobelgroup.com. The exhibition will run until mid of November. And if we aroused your interest in the 31st annual report designed by Ben van Berkel and UN Studio, then you can order it through Lars Müller Publishers. Thank you, Ben, for joining us from Amsterdam. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you for being invited, and it was a wonderful discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alfred, for having us here at the Zumtobel Light Forum and for your insights into the transformation of the Zumtobel Group, but also the lighting industry as a whole. And we look forward to more light talks with you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you also, Ben, from my end. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for listening to Light Talks, the Zumtobel Group podcast. We hope you enjoyed the first episode and will join us again next month when we talk about how light can bring people, nature and innovations together.